How many burning bushes have you walked by today? The renowned poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." But we don't always see God for God. We don't always recognize God in the things of our everyday being. We don't always hear God when God is speaking. Moses did. But for many of us, we have to keep listening. For most of us, dirt is dirt. Bushes become important only when they yield berries for our eating. Maybe we're not seeing and we're not hearing God because we have trouble believing that God is found elsewhere than in a specific building, or that God would talk directly to somebody like us. Maybe we believe that God belongs more to people who are not us. We don't see dirt as sacred, even though God made it, even though we are sustained through it. We don't always see ourselves as so important that God would want to have a conversation with us. We know we're not perfect, but it's important to remember that we are perfectly loved. Few people would have expected God to speak to Moses. Fewer people would have expected God to choose Moses to lead a mighty nation. It's doubtful that anyone would have even expected Moses to live into adulthood. And never mind him becoming known as the lawgiver, the deliverer, and friend to the one and only God. Moses became known for more than anyone, including himself, would have expected. Imagine what it would be like if we lived our entire lives based on presumptions of who it is we are, or of what it is that we can do. Maybe you don't have to imagine that. Someone somewhere might have told you that you can't. Someone somewhere might have told you that you aren't. It's important to remember that people can be wrong about you, but God is not. Moses was born into slavery. He was a child of Israeli parents who, like others of their nation, had been enslaved by an Egyptian pharaoh. This pharaoh, we do not know his actual name, ordered the death of all newborn Israeli males. Pharaoh had done this to try to stop the growth of the Israeli population. And that nation's numbers were growing large, and the pharaoh feared that if war broke out, the Israeli men would join the enemies of Egypt. They'd fight against the pharaoh's kingdom and then escape his land. Beyond that fear, various traditional commentaries, such as the rabbinic Midrash and some Islamic accounts, note that Egyptian astrologers, also called advisors, warned the pharaoh that a leader was to rise up from the enslaved people. That leader would come to break the pharaoh's hold on them. He would set his people free. Moses' mother may not have understood why her child and so many other children were to be slaughtered, but she understood her love for Moses and the love God had for his people. The name of Moses' mother was Jochebed. Her name means Yahweh is glory. Jochebed was a woman of great faith, who understood that the glory of the Lord could be seen through his love and mercy. Survival for Moses did not seem likely. For a slave woman to save an entire nation through saving her child seemed impossible. Fortunately, Jacobet acted, and what she could not do, she trusted God to. Jacobet performed the radical act of placing her infant son in a basket and allowing that basket with her son in it to float down the river. The child could have drowned. The child could have been killed and found by members of the Egyptian military. But Moses was found by the Pharaoh's daughter, adopted by her, and became an Egyptian prince. Became a man of righteousness and a friend of Almighty God. We can debate the effect of nature versus nurture with Moses. He was born into slavery, but raised as royalty. He was born into poverty, but lived a life of earthly riches, and then lived a life of spiritual riches. We can debate inherent or incidental good with nearly every mortal in Moses' story, and every mortal that's walked the earth. What we cannot debate is the good of God. We could expand our conversation to be able to explore when and where we all get our sense of morality. How we all may develop our sense of right and wrong. But we cannot debate that Moses was, like we all are, beloved by God. And we can't deny that in our lives, as it was in Moses, there are outcomes that seem probable and not. I grew up in a mill town. It was filled with immigrants, tenements, and long stone buildings that coughed out smoke and broken people. It was where people worked in high heat and with real risk. Children were maimed as they squirmed underneath rumbling machines and tried to untangle cotton thread. Adults accepted that the future would always look like it did that day. A day of hard work with long hours and low pay. That was the life of my grandparents. That was the life of my dad at one time, and that was the life of every other family member of his generation that I knew. The women did piecework. The men pushed, swept, maintained, and maybe ran a row of machines that manufactured cotton cloth. And this is not all we could do. This was not our full potential. This was limited opportunity and expectations that were maybe too low. If we hadn't gone to church on Sunday, if we hadn't read our Bibles or somehow heard about God, if we hadn't heard God, if we hadn't heard from God in the rhythm of sewing machines or the clacking of gigantic looms, if we hadn't understood God to be in the cries of children and from the needs of tired adults. If words like scripture didn't flow like sweat, or if love wasn't as omnipresent as was cotton dust. When burning bushes are everyday things, we see God in everything. God is everywhere. God is in everyone and everything. Those who looked saw God in the sweatshops. Those who hoped saw God in the labor. Those who believed saw God in a potential, if not for themselves, for their children. Like the mother of Moses did. Through the love others offer us, through the love we offer ourselves, through the love given to us by God, we find our value and we find God. The world is full of burning bushes. Look through the eyes of your faith and you'll see them. Listen with the ears of a disciple, and you will hear the voice of God calling out to you, trusting you with the potential that you were given. You are loved and valued for who you are and who you can be. Our true value does not originate from where we are from or who we were born to. Our true value may not be obvious to anyone but God. God speaks to us through burning bushes and through the lives of people others might not expect. The Bible tells us their stories, and from them we learn and are led. There was David, a shepherd boy, the youngest son, a person God chose rather than his expected older or stronger brothers. David slayed a giant. David was loved by God and made the king of Israel. There was Gideon, a fearful farmer from a family considered weak. God picked him to lead an army and defeat a massive enemy force. It was Moses, born of slaves, raised as a prince, murdered a man, became a shepherd, and led a nation to freedom. He was spoken to by God. Moses spoke with a speech impediment, but God chose him to represent God's people. And there was Mary, a young woman, poor, and from a family that was once thought unremarkable. God chose her to give birth to the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus. They were the disciples. Jesus picked working-class fishermen and a despised tax collector as his inner circle, instead of trained religious scholars. There was Paul, Saul. He had been a passionate opponent of Christianity. He was part of a group that hunted down the early Christians. He was present when the first Christian, Stephen, was martyred. God transformed Saul, and Paul transformed society. His ministry helped spread Christianity all over the world. God so often chooses those the world scorns or ignores. God always picks the right person because God knows who we are. God teaches others through who we are. There's a story attributed to John Wesley, our denomination's founder. In it, someone approached him and asked how it is that he gathered such large crowds to hear him preach. Wesley answered, "I set myself afire, and others come to watch me burn." Everywhere there are bushes burning, and sometimes those bushes are us. The theologian Eugene Peterson wrote, "To eyes that see, every bush is a burning bush." Let yourself burn. Burn away any notion given to you that you cannot. Burn away any notion that you are not. Burn so brightly that others are led to your fire source. God made you. God who chooses you for a meaningful life. Look and see. We are all born with a divine fire in us. Our efforts should be to give wings to this fire and to fill the world with the glow of its goodness. Blessed be the God who chooses us and shows us we are worthy of that choice. Thanks be to God. Amen.